coming up on this edition of Pats Pods. Get the most recent Patriots news in about 60 seconds and listen to the Friday's roster report. Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, coming to you straight from Gillette Stadium, and you're listening to the very first Pats Pod, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. Today's Friday, February 10th, and there's Patriots news in about 60 seconds, including why Richard Seymour and Tom Brady will not be in attendance at the Pro Bowl. And there's the roster report where Patriots Football Weekly's Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale discuss the latest moves of the Patriots. So let's start off with the news in about 60 seconds with Brian Lowe.
Okay, thanks, Laurie. The off-season period of player personnel moves will be in full swing come March 3rd, but the Pats have re-signed one of their own by coming to terms on a one-year deal with Don Davis, who led the Pats in special teams tackles in 2005. In New England, Davis has played linebacker and safety in addition to his special teams role. We may soon get some clues into Adam Vinatieri's future with the Pats. The window for teams to designate franchise players began on Thursday, lasts until February 23rd. The Pats designated Vinatieri as their franchise player last year. They can place the franchise tag on him for the second time, or the two sides could come to terms on a new contract. Otherwise, Vinatieri would be free to sign anywhere on March 3rd. Let's hope a team's record is not always a reflection on that team's assistant coaches. If one report is true, the newest Pats coach was the defensive coordinator of a 1-9 team in the NAIA's Dakota Athletic Conference. Josh Boyer of South Dakota School of Mines is coming to the Pats as a quality control assistant, the school's website and Boston.com report. An out-of-the-box hire, perhaps, though here's the catch. Boyer and new Pats defensive coordinator Dean Pease both recently coached at Kent State. No official word from the Pats on any assistant coaching hires. The Pro Bowl is this Sunday, but the Patriots two Pro Bowlers, Tom Brady and Richard Seymour, have both backed out of the festivities in Hawaii due to injury. Tom, the coin tosser, recently confirmed that he'll be having surgery for his sports hernia injury. Not to worry, if you'd like to see Brady and Seymour, they grace the cover of this month's issue of Patriots Football Weekly. That wraps up our report for today. Enjoy the Pro Bowl. I'm Brian Lowe, back now to Lori Baranski.
Thanks, Brian. And now for our weekly segment on Friday's Pats Pods, the roster report with Patriots Football Weekly's Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart.
Welcome to PFW's first weekly Pats roster report here on Patriots.com's podcast. Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo. We're going to break down the roster each and every Friday, starting off 17 free agents to open the offseason for the Patriots. That number is down to 16, as Brian Lowe just mentioned. Don Davis has been re-signed, but still some key guys out there, guys. Unrestricted free agents. David Givens, Troy Brown, Stephen Neal, Tom Ashworth, Adam Vinatieri. Who's most important?
David Givens. He's a young, up-and-coming number two wide receiver. If you lose him, you have Deion Branch and nobody else. And we saw last year at times defenses were able to take away Deion Branch on occasion. You got to have somebody else to throw the ball to. You can't just have tight ends and backs out of the backfield.
I'll take a different approach and say Stephen Neal. I mean, he's part of the offensive line, I think, that's going to be much improved next year. And if they lose him and Tom Ashworth, now offensive line becomes a pressing need, much like wide receiver is.
Do you guys feel, you know, because I kind of feel this way, that Adam Vinatieri is pretty important, but yeah, I don't really think there's much of, a chance that they're going to lose him. Now, franchise tag, Brian also talked about that. They can use these tags up until February 23rd, and they've used it in the past on Vinatieri, but is it cost prohibitive almost at this point to do that again with Adam?
I don't know if it's prohibitive, but it's not comfortable. It goes over $3 million this year with the 20%. He was the highest paid kicker with the franchise tag last year. Give him a 20% raise. Now over $3 million to come in seven times a game and kick field goals. You save money if you just bite the bullet, sign him to a long-term extension, which makes it better for everybody.
Yeah, we've also gotten questions about Givens with a franchise tag. They're not going to franchise David
Givens. I got ripped pretty good for suggesting that they wouldn't be spending upwards of $7 million. Last year it was $7.7 million, and that number, I guess, is going to go down a little bit. I tried to find out the information, and evidently it was out there but not confirmed. Evidently that number is going to lower slightly in the $6 million range. There's no way they're going to franchise David Givens with that kind of money. And he's also looking for a long-term deal. I don't think he'll sign it, if that even happens. So he's looking to get out of
this
here.
This is his chance. The big contract.
Yeah, and it's his one shot.
Right.
Not to steal Eminem's whole line, but it's his one chance for a big contract. He's a seventh-round pick, hasn't made a lot of money, you know, respective to the NFL and NFL circles. He's looking for a long-term. Now, he wants to stay here, but if he doesn't get a long-term big-money deal, he's not going to do it just to stay here.
What if the Patriots don't necessarily feel like what he is yet? And I mean by that, do you feel like one more year might tell you something? Because that's the only way you could possibly say, do they take a chance on the franchise tag because they're unsure of what he is right now? Because you had guys last year, Stephen Neal, a David Givens, a Tom Ashworth. You all paid $1.43 million. I don't think you thought all those guys were worth that necessarily. Tom Ashworth, maybe. Maybe you were trying to find out, what is he worth and where do we go in the future? And do you take a year where you pay Givens, you bite the bullet and say, I got to pay him $6 million to find out if he's a one or he's not and what my value is on him?
I say no.
I don't think you do either, because it's a lot of
money. I say no, too, and I think there's a big difference between saying he might not be worth $1.43 million in Ashworth's case, as you mentioned, but what was he worth, $1.2 million?
Right.
You know, maybe $1 million? Now you're talking about he might not be worth $1.43 as opposed to $6.5 million or whatever.
There's a question of, am I letting a star walk away? And I don't know necessarily where they placed David Givens on his development and how much he has left, because I think it's been pretty consistent, his upward progression.
You give him a signing bonus, you give him a long-term deal, and then you get out.
No, but this is the one way you say, maybe there's a team out there that's a little more sure than you that's going to hand him $10 million up front, and you're not willing to do that right now. You pay him $6 million with the franchise tag, you gain another year to decide, where do I think David Givens fits on this team going forward?
Well, I don't know. If they give him $6 million, I got a feeling there's going to be a knock on the door, and it's going to be Richard Seymour saying, I'm ready to
No, because it's a one-year thing. Richard Seymour wants a long-term deal with a signing bonus.
This is a one-year deal. The Goodfellas line?
Yeah.
F you, where's my money?
Right.
I think he's on the verge of saying that anyway, but that's a different story.
It could be, but we talked about Givens a lot here. Sticking with the wide receivers in general, that's a position they're going to need to find some players.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need to, you have four free agents right now: Troy Brown, David Givens, Tim Dwight, and Andre Davis. Throw in the enigmatic Bethel Johnson, you could possibly lose.
I don't throw him in there because he's never been a receiver for this team, really.
You need some wide receivers.
Right. If Givens goes, you need like three or four new wide receivers.
Even if he doesn't, you need guys to fill. We have yet to see Givens and Branch play a full season where they don't need any help, really. You got to have at least two guys ready to step in. And I'm not even sure if you bring Andre Davis back, which I think probably will happen, that he's a guy that's ready to step in and start
right.
And play a full game as your number two wide receiver in an injury.
Threat.
Right.
That's it.
I mean, he's a deep threat. Maybe he's slightly above Bethel Johnson or Tim Dwight, but not all that far.
Right. Where do we find wide receivers? Do you think draft and free agency?
Yeah.
How high in the draft?
Because I think you have to have a veteran in the mix.
But the problem is it's a little weak in both areas this year.
It's really weak in free agency. I mean, you're talking about guys, the names that have been thrown out there, Joe Jurevicius and Antoine Randall, I'm not enthralled with any of those names.
And
I also don't think that necessarily, from what all I heard all Super Bowl week was Jurevicius was all but certain to go back to Seattle.
And rookie receivers that get drafted in the top 10 usually don't come in and make a huge splash. If you take a receiver in the second or third round, he's not going to come in here and catch 60, 70 balls for you.
Yeah, now, it's rare that we're going to be really surprised by whatever position the Patriots draft in the first round, but wide receiver high in the first round would really surprise me. Now, I was really surprised last year when they took a guard, so take that for whatever it's worth. But one last thing before we take off. Backup quarterback situation, Doug Flutie, 44 years old. He's another one of the list of 16 free agents right now. He's expressed a desire to return. The team has not expressed any desire so far to have him back. Good move, bad move?
Need an upgrade at the backup quarterback position. That's all I'll say.
He's not capable of stepping in and playing four games if you need him.
I have to agree with that. I think that you need to find out what you think of Matt Cassel first and foremost. And if you don't think that he's ready to be a backup, then you have to go out and find somebody.
I'm not ready to turn Matt Cassel the ball for 5 weeks either.
But they know that. They know what they're ready to
do
with Matt Cassel.
If Brady gets hurt next year and Flutie's the backup, then you'll start hearing people complaining, why didn't they have a backup?
Yeah, and there's always guys available, career backups, the Charlie Batch types, Shane Matthews. I don't know who's available.
You know,
I think Shane Matthews actually is available this year. But, John Kitna would be a great guy. I think that he's probably going to go somewhere where he thinks he can compete for a starting job. But if he goes anywhere, because I know he really likes the situation in Cincinnati. But I think we're all in agreement, 43-year-old backup quarterback, not necessarily the brightest path.
And it's not just his age, it's what we saw, how he saw him throw the ball in training camp, and the fact that I don't think he can come in and run your offense. He comes in and does Doug Flutie's offense.
That's going to put a wrap on our first Patriots roster report. Check in every Friday for our podcast. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys. Remember, the roster report will be aired every Friday. That's all for this edition of Pat's Pods. Try to enjoy the Pro Bowl. After all, Nicole Shelf and the New England Patriots cheerleaders will be representing. And guys, a little reminder. Valentine's Day is on February 14th this year, which means Tuesday is your chance to show the love of your life how much you care, even if it is your dog. Thanks for listening, and come back soon.